seems like there's so many challenges and just obstacles that everyone is facing all around this country. As I was thinking about it this morning, I mean, you look around and the economy seems to be in flux. We don't know when our children are going to be in school. You know, I don't know if most of you have probably been told that for the foreseeable future, our school has put us on notice that even perhaps to the end of the year, school may be out. There's just a whole lot of stuff. People around this nation, there's a fear spreading around this nation of uncertainty, and nobody knows what's going on. And so we wanted to just kind of encourage you, because even though the reality of the coronavirus and all of that stuff that's out there is real, we know that God does not want us to walk in fear.
Amen.
Over and over in the scripture, when you read it, the Bible says, do not walk in fear. Amen. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. And it's not so much that the obstacle or the challenge is not real.
Yeah.
I mean, it's real. It's just the issue is we serve a God that is bigger than the obstacle or the challenge. And so this coronavirus and everything that we're facing, I mean, I know it's scary and I know there's a lot of stuff that's going on, but we have to keep in mind that we serve a God who is bigger Amen. And above all the things that we're facing.
Amen. I made a post yesterday on my different social platforms. For those who don't know, I actually started my career out in the broadcast journalistic arena. I was a news anchor and I did radio and I did newspaper. I did all of it. And there was a statement that we were trained in as reporters, which was, if it bleeds, it leads. And what that meant was, if it was scary, if it was scintillating, if it was shocking, that was the thing that we needed to report on the most and report on it often, because it would naturally draw people's attention. And at the end of the day, we got to remember, you know, these organizations, they want ratings, they want readers, they want listeners, right? And so I said that because I do believe that as believers, we have to be careful not to get sucked into manufactured hysteria. And by that I mean there are facts to the situation that we have to be wise about. There are facts in the situation that we have to be mindful of. And yet, if we're spending every minute of every day watching, there's one more death, there's one more case, you're going to get to the point where you're just going to be on edge constantly.
Yeah.
And God has not called us to be that way. So I'm excited about this teaching today because I believe it is so relevant to the time that we're in right now.
Yeah, and the truth of the matter is we tell our church here to not walk in fear, but don't be dumb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this stuff that's going around is a reality, but you don't have to walk around and be dumb. There's certain precautions and things that we need to do to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
But God does not want us to walk around in fear. Whenever you look in your Bible, he always warns us not to walk in fear.
Amen.
I believe right now God is in heaven and he's not scratching his head about what is he going to do.
Not at all.
He's not in heaven perplexed like, oh my God, that coronavirus. I don't know how we're going to deal with this one.
Like,
it's spreading too fast.
Wait, what happened? No.
No. He's in heaven and he has perfect peace. He's sitting there. He's not moved. He's not troubled. He's not anything. And listen, I believe that's how God wants his people to be. Now is the time for the church to not be walking around in fear. Now is the time for the church to walk up and know that we have a God that's bigger than whatever it is that we're going to face. It's not that there's not a reality there, but our hope and our faith and trust is in God, and that's what gives us peace. And so
Amen.
We really just want to kind of talk to you about peace and how to have rest in the middle of unrest.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Talk about peace.
Amen.
So our text, if you have your Bibles, open to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and our main verse that we're looking at here that we're pulling from is Philippians 4, verse 7. And it reads, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
If there's one thing around the world right now that's needed is peace.
Amen.
Peace. Everybody around right now, there's so much chaos and stress and fear. The world is looking for peace. And the Bible says that God has a peace for us that surpasses all understanding. That word peace there means a state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. It means calm and serenity despite the circumstances.
Amen.
And that's the part that I love, that even in the midst of the storm, we can still have peace.
Amen.
And so we want to talk about that. How do we get this peace? God says, I have a peace. My peace surpasses all understanding. How do we walk in that? So if you have your Bibles there, look there in verse 6. And we're just going to talk through this as we go to kind of go through it. In verse 6, first thing he says is be anxious for nothing. He says, don't be anxious for anything. That word anxious there means to experience worry or unease, nervousness. It means to be typically nervous about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. God says he does not want us to be anxious for anything. He doesn't want us to be fearful. And right now, there's so much fear going around.
Yes. Anxiousness,
you know, let me try to make a difference. Fear is an emotional response to a real or something that is imminent, something that you
perceived
can see,
threat, yeah.
a perceived threat. But anxiousness or worry is a worry or fear over something that is anticipated in the future.
Yeah.
It hasn't happened yet, but yet it still causes you to worry and be fearful of it.
Yeah.
So, for example, fear is I walk out into my garage and I see a snake and I jump back and I'm afraid. Anxiousness is this outlook of, well, there could be a snake out into my garage. And so
right.
we begin to worry and have fear. And when you think about it, the Bible is basically saying that anxiousness or worry robs us of the peace of God. Have you ever noticed that when you start worrying about something or you become anxious about it, that your peace just begins to go?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's why there are people right now who have been losing sleep.
Yeah.
This has been an interesting phenomenon. People who have believe that they have the virus who are actually exhibiting symptoms of the virus who tested negative.
Yeah.
Because
allergies.
They were so anxious about it that they were like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? I think the thing about anxiety that we have to really guard against is, as Pastor said, it's about the unknown.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's like, you can focus on something that you don't know, and just because you focus on it doesn't mean that you suddenly know it or understand it. But you end up spending time and emotional energy and actually spiritual energy on this thing that you don't know, which is why God is calling us to find rest in him.
Yeah, he says, don't worry or be anxious about anything. And one thing that I've learned is there's at least a few reasons why you shouldn't do that. Number one is that when you worry about something, it doesn't change anything.
It doesn't change a thing, yeah.
Doesn't change one thing. One thing that I've learned is you can worry about something all you want, but worry alone is not going to change anything. Only thing it's going to do is cause you to worry more.
Yeah.
So, for example, I remember when my son TJ was in the hospital and the doctors came to us and they said, hey, you know, your son is born. He was born in 26 weeks, 2 pounds, 4 ounces. And they used to tell us all the things that could potentially happen to him. You know, he may have learning disabilities.
Right.
He may have neck and we may have to do all these different things. And one of the things I noticed was the more I began to worry and to think about that, the more I started worrying more.
Yeah.
About what could possibly happen.
What it could possibly be. Yeah.
Right. And right now, there's a lot of worry and fear going on all around this country. And here's the thing. What is you worrying about going to change anything? The only thing it's going to do is make you worry more. In fact, Jesus said it this way, Matthew 6:27. He says, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? So in other words, your worrying is not going to change anything. It's not going to add 1 hour to your life. It's not going to change the outcome. So the only thing worrying is going to do is cause you to worry more.
Amen. Amen. But that's why God says, be anxious for nothing. And I think this is such an important passage.
Right. The second thing that I've noticed is that, have you noticed that worry is contagious?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that? You notice on the news, whenever something goes around and people start worrying and getting afraid, it just spreads to everybody.
There are more people that have the virus of anxiety right now than coronavirus. That's the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember with my son, Isaac, one that time he got sick and his temperature was spiking and he was just feeling really, really bad. And he was starting to go in and come out. And he looked at me and said, Daddy, he started panicking. You know, your child, they don't know what to do. They start panicking. He said, Daddy, what do I do? And I noticed that if I showed any fear at all, it caused him to get even more panicky.
Yeah.
But when I could sit there and say, son, it's okay. We're going to go to the hospital. And I could calmly tell him what was going on. It started to ease his nerves.
And you see that in children all the time. You know, when a child, when they run and fall and they fall on the ground, they pause and they look up at their parent, right? Like, how should I respond?
Right.
And if we're like, oh,
right.
No, then they start crying and go,
right.
Okay. And if we're just like, hey, you're okay, then they're like, oh, okay, I guess I'm okay. And that's why we have to keep our focus on God and keep our focus on him, because in him, we truly can't experience peace.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important in your household. There are news reports going all over the place. Your children, if you are a man, your wife, if you are a single parent mom, whatever, everybody in your house is going off of your response. And so if you're walking around afraid and you're watching all these officials and everybody's afraid, listen, the people of God cannot be afraid.
Yeah.
You cannot worry about that, because in this moment, the church is the light.
We are
the ones that have to show strength even amidst all of this chaos and stuff that's going around.
Yeah.
Another reason is for not to worry is worry robs us of our joy and hope for the future. So I've noticed that when I get worried about stuff, it can consume you. You have no joy. You have no life anymore. The worry can consume you so much to where you don't have any hope. Like you get stuck in it. Proverbs 12:25 says it this way. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up.
Amen.
So when you're worrying about stuff, and the reason why God says don't do it is because all it's going to do is drain your emotional energy and make you feel all down. You got people right now who are stuck in their house and they don't want to leave and they're just so afraid and they have no life. And so God tells us, don't worry, don't worry. Now, if we're not supposed to worry, then what are we supposed to do? How do we get this peace? Look back there in verse 6. One of the first things that he tells us to do is that we are to take our concerns or our requests to God. Do you see that there in verse 6? He says, take your request unto God. So in other words, he says, in everything, do you see that? In everything, take your request to God. Everything means everything. It means everything that has you stressed out, everything that's causing you to fear, everything that's causing you to worry. He says we are to take those concerns or those requests to God. Mm-hmm. And I thought about it. I said, why does God want us to take it to him? And the reason why is because you can't have peace without God.
Mm-mm. You can't.
The truth of the matter is, if you want peace, the only place that you can get real peace is from God. So God says, if you want peace, you got to bring it to me. You could have all the missiles in the world,
yeah,
the nuclear bombs and all that type of stuff, and that might buy you a limited amount of peace, but real peace can only come from God.
Well, and I want to encourage you all. I just posted about this in the live stream feed. As we're teaching, if you have questions or concerns, please comment on that because we want to make sure that we're interacting with you. I think I was watching a TED talk by Bill Gates many years ago, and he made the statement. He said, the greatest threat to humanity is actually not missiles. He said the greatest threat to humanity is actually a virus. And he said this years ago, but that didn't make people act and it didn't make people say, oh, we need to prepare for that. People just kind of dismissed it. But what we have to know is even if we as humanity are not prepared, this did not catch God off guard.
Yeah.
Okay. So many times Amen. We put our faith and our trust in ourselves and it's like, oh my gosh, if I'm not ready, then what's going to happen? But the truth is, God has always been ready. And I want to speak to those people who are even experiencing economic uncertainty now, where mm-hmm. you're kind of like, I don't know what's going to happen with my job. I don't know what's going to happen with my company. Please hear me when I say, God knows you and he sees you. And remember this, we are the glory of God in the earth. And so God always wants us as his children to prosper, because when we prosper, especially in the midst of unrest, yeah. it makes the world say, well, what do
there
they
have? There it is. There's a testimony,
that,
right?
That I don't have. Mm-hmm. And so please hear us when we're telling you this. We have to find our peace in God, because he saw this before we even thought it was possible. He mm-hmm. knew it.
Amen. Amen. The peace comes from God. In fact, the Bible says the peace that surpasses all understanding is of God. So if we want peace, we got to go to the source. How do we get this peace? If you look there, he says, in everything by prayer.
Amen.
By prayer. Prayer, you know, sometimes I think we make that so complicated.
Yeah.
But I mean, prayer in a very broad, general sense is just talking to God.
Yeah.
God says, whenever you have fear, whenever you have something that's causing you to be afraid, you need to come talk to me about it. What I have found is that when I get afraid, I can talk to people and some fears go away.
Right.
But then there are some fears that I have that I can talk to you, but there's nothing you can do. And then I have to take that to God.
Right.
Right. And God is saying that when you start experiencing that debilitating fear, all this fear that's going around, you need to come and talk to me about it. When my son TJ was in the hospital, I don't know if you remember this, but there were some things that I could pray with my wife about. They would come in and tell us. There was one particular night where I thought they were going to have to do surgery because they thought his bowels had perforated and so forth. And they came in. And so my wife and I, we started praying about that. And we did all that we knew to do. But then I would get up and I would walk away and I would walk down the hall, because there were some things that she and I just couldn't handle on ourselves. And I had to take it to the person, the only person who could actually do something about it. And I want to encourage you, because right now a lot of people are talking to a lot of different people.
Yeah.
My question is, how much are we talking to God?
Yeah.
How much are we talking to the person who can really do something about it? We're calling our girlfriends. We're calling people at the gym. We're talking to everybody around us. But how much are we talking to the person who could actually do something about it?
And I wonder, honey, if you can go to Psalm 1, verse 1. This just occurred to me. I think prayer, many times we think prayer is us going to God and asking him to give us stuff. And prayer, fundamentally, however, is really our time to commune with God. It's our time to share with God, but it's also our opportunity to listen to God. And I wanted to read Psalm chapter 1 just super quickly to you, because I want you to be anchored in what this says. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the company of mockers. But blessed is he whose delight is in the law of the Lord,
Amen.
Who meditates on his law day and night." Listen to this part. "That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither." The reason why that's important is because the metaphor of the tree planted by the rivers of water is that whether it's raining or not, that tree is going to be sustained.
Mm-hmm.
And what you also need to hear is it says it yields fruit in season and its leaf does not wither. What that means is, you know how in the fall you see trees and the leaves are gone, it's just a bare tree? This person who is rooted in the Word of God, who is meditating on His Word, who is in prayer constantly, they always have leaves. It means whether they're bringing forth fruit or not, they always have leaves. And so that's why we have to stay rooted in prayer, because if we don't, we will become like that bare tree.
Hmm.
And we will not be planted by the stream of water. We will be planted off in a desert somewhere. And so prayer really becomes, it becomes our anchor. It becomes our root system. It becomes the thing that keeps us healthy when the rest of the world is feeling scared and anxious.
Amen. Amen. What a powerful word that is. And I think that that's a question that I would pose to you, is how much talking are you doing to God? Versus how much talking are you doing to everyone else?
Yeah.
Think about that. And I don't mean, of course we all pray, and I know you're probably praying in the morning, but the Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
So that means every time that fear comes up, every time you see on the news or whatever it is, you know, your job or whatever it is, and that fear comes, how much are we talking to God? God says, stop talking to everybody else and make sure you come and talk to me about what it is that's concerning you. And then the Bible says, not only with prayer, but with supplication. And that word supplication just means with to make a request. So how many know that sometimes you could just talk to somebody, like your kids, they come and talk to you about all the problems and the trouble and all that. And at some point you'd be like, okay, well what is it that you want me to do? God says, don't just come and talk to me about what's going on. What do you want me to do?
Right.
He says, supplicate or make supplication, make a request upon my demand. And I found is that the power of God is always present. But if you don't make a request upon it, God is like a gentleman. Sometimes he doesn't always impose himself in on your situation. You have to ask.
Yeah.
In fact, the Bible says in Psalms 50, verse 15, he says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you shall glorify me.
Amen.
Listen, did you hear what he said? He says, call upon me. In other words, don't just sit there and talk to everybody else. Call upon me and I will deliver you. And some of you right now, you need to begin to start calling upon God for your house, upon your children, upon your finances. I know you just got that report from you. I had a young man call me today and said that his boss laid him off on Friday and said that Monday would be the last day they were going to work, Saturday and Sunday. They laid him off so that he wouldn't have to pay them benefits or anything off during this time, and said afterwards, after all this tie is over, come back and we'll hire you back.
Mm.
And so right now he's stressed trying to figure out, how am I going to pay these bills? What are all the things that I'm going to do?
Yeah.
And I was encouraging, hey man, the only person who's going to bring some resolution to this is God.
Yeah.
And whether that's through the government or whatever source he does that, he's going to make a way.
Well, and I will tell you, I was listening to a news report yesterday, and they said something that was actually really interesting. They said, a lot of people are panicking because they're saying, you know, if I get out of work, then I won't be able to pay my mortgage. They're going to come take my house, or they're going to kick me out of my apartment. And the person who was an economist, they said, well, you have to realize that can't happen because the courts are actually shut down. And so at the end of the day, you know,
the evictions and everything,
the eviction courts are shut down. So, you know, we're worried about these things. And in some ways, in a very unthoughtful ways, like, you know, God has already made provision. So we just have to remember, don't be so worried about this, because God has you. He's got you.
Yeah. And I know that's easier said than done, depending on your situation. And there's a lot of us out there that have a lot of different things going on. What I'm suggesting is just take it to the person who could actually do something about it. You can talk to your mom. Maybe she can help you. Maybe she can. Talk to the person. Go in your own private time and spend that time with God and make sure that you share it with him. But then he also says, not only with prayer, not only with supplication, but also with thanksgiving.
Oh, yes. So this is the part that I think is so critical. So he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with
thanksgiving,
let your requests be made known to God. A lot of times we jump into prayer. We even jump into supplication. Lord, do this, do this, do this. But the thanksgiving piece is what actually, I believe, activates the peace of God. Because when you actually pause and you take stock of the goodness of God in your life right now, it gives you so much peace and gratitude.
Right.
But if you allow this lack, this state of lack, well, you know, I don't have this and they don't have that, and what's going to happen with this? But then you pause and you actually say, wait a minute, Lord, thank you for health. Thank you for waking me up, God. Thank you for having a roof over my head, Lord.
There it is.
I may not have a refrigerator full of food, but I got enough food for the next few days, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my children, even though they're home right now and they're asking me every 10 minutes for a snack.
Mm-hmm.
God, I thank you that they're here and they're alive. You know, you have things to be grateful for. So as you're going into the presence of God, bring a spirit of thankfulness into there, because that's how we truly activate the peace of God, is when we take stock of his goodness in our life.
And I think that also speaks to being thankful for what God has already done.
Amen.
And so when you go into his presence, there is a gratefulness that says, God, I thank you for bringing me to this point. I've been through other stuff before. I've had colds. I've had sicknesses. I've lost my job before. Most of us have lost a job at some point in our life, and God has brought you through it. So not only are we thanking God for where he's brought us from, we're thanking God for what he's doing for us now.
Amen.
Here's the thing. Prayerfully, you don't have it. If you have it, God is still going to deliver you. But sometimes you ought to just give God praise right now that, God, I feel fine.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because sometimes it's your thinking that'll make you start to get sick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so you got to learn to give God thanks and say, hey, God, thank you for my family right now. Thank you that my parents are doing good. Thank you that I still have money in the bank.
Amen.
Thank you that I do have food. And I thank you, God, for what you're going to do for me in the future as well.
Yeah, I think the enemy, he works so hard to get our minds wrapped around what could go wrong or what we don't have. And because he does that, we then become filled with anxiety. We start to panic. But I think it is bringing our mind back to the blessings of God right now. And so I would encourage all of you, just as an action item, is just today, make a list of the goodness of God in your life today. Just make that list. And every day, just wake up and reflect on that list and add to that list as you think of other things. And that will help you to maintain a posture of peace.
And I think you just hit on a powerful thing when you said about thinking. And we'll close with this point, because I don't know how long we've been going. But another way that we receive the peace of God is you got to make sure that you're thinking about the right things.
Amen.
Like your mind has to contemplate and be dwelling on the right thoughts, or it will make you anxious. One of the things that I found is that the way you think becomes your reality. So if you think the wrong thoughts, you start to feel the wrong way. You start to say the wrong thing. And so your thought process is key if you want to have peace. So, for example, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, above everything, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it, everything flows.
Yeah.
So if you don't watch the way how you think, I think the enemy is so aware of how powerful our thought life is. And that's one of the reasons why he tries to control the narrative that's going on the television and the broadcast networks. And I don't fault them, because in many ways they are reporting hopefully what is factual information of cases and so forth. But they don't control how we are to respond to that. And the Bible says in Proverbs 23, as a person thinks in their heart, so are they. So if you think you're going to get sick and you walk around getting sick, then sometimes you can cause yourself to get sick.
It's true.
If you think that the world is about to end, in your reality, the world is literally going to come to an end, and it robs you of all your peace. So Paul says, instead of thinking on all of those negativity and all of those things that's robbing you of your peace, look at what he says there in verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, those are the things that you should be thinking on.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And so the only thing that I can think of that meets all of those qualifications really is the word of God.
That's
think about that. So instead of dwelling on all the negativity and all the things that are going on, our challenge is to think on what's true.
Yep.
For example, many people are stressed out and anxious because they're believing something that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that if I get the coronavirus, I'm going to die, when that's not what the data says at all.
Right, yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that's why the enemy is working so hard to keep this before our eyes all day. But that's also why we have to keep the word of God before our eyes. And I wanted to just offer kind of a model so that you can do this practically. I think it's really about, as Pastor Tim said, it's about praying continuously.
Yeah.
But it's about, you know, beginning your time of prayer with thanksgiving, starting with thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for waking me up, God. Thank you for health. Thank you for the food. Thank you for my family. Thank you for money in my bank account. Thank God for whatever goodness he has done in your life. But then you also need to begin to just declare his word back to him in a way that you own it. I will be like a tree planted by a stream of water that brings forth fruit in its season. My leaf shall not wither. I mean, you have to begin to declare that over yourself and declare God's word back to him. And because his word is where there is hope, where there is life, where there is truth. I guarantee you, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, all these other channels, you know, they're going to continue to tell you what will scare you, what will shock you, what will make you worried, because that's what's going to make you keep watching. But if you begin to transition your eyes to the word of God and say, I'm going to root myself here, you will experience the power of God's, the power of God's truth, which is all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I think back on, we had the bird flu, we had swine flu, we had ISIS, we've had all these global threats to humanity, and yet God has brought us through every single one. God has not suddenly changed his character. He has not suddenly changed his promise. His promise is everlasting and it's enduring, and we have to find our hope in that.
Yeah, so one of the things I want to challenge you with as we kind of draw this to a close is, as you go through this week and you see all the things that are on television, no one's denying reality.
Right.
Nobody's denying that these things aren't necessarily occurring. But what does God say about that?
Yeah.
If you dwell on what you hear, that may be the reality, but we serve a supernatural God who can do over and above what you see. Mm-hmm. Right. And so what we have to learn to do is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 or so, is cast down thoughts and imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, what God has said, and bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of what Christ has said, right? And so I just want to sow this into your life. Instead of dwelling on what the media and all this negativity that's going on out there, here's something that I want you to reflect on this week as you go through this week. It's found in Psalm 91, right? Mm-hmm. Psalm 91. Instead of speaking about, oh my God, the coronavirus is coming. Yeah, right. You know, this is what's going to happen to me and my family. I want you to dwell on this. Psalm 91, verse 1, read it. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of Almighty God. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he will deliver me from the snare of the fowler, from the snare of coronavirus, and from the noisome pestilence. Do you see that there? He will deliver me from it. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day,
Amen.
Nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. Listen, somebody ought to get that in that spirit. That whatever happens out there don't mean that it's going to necessarily happen to you. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 on thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Do not accept and pray over your house and repeat all that foolishness over you and your family. Repeat the word of God. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee. Say that again. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh my dwelling. Somebody ought to play that over your house every morning you get up. Neither shall any plague come upon thy dwelling. Why? Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee.
Come on.
To keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against
that's
a stone.
That's the word of God.
That is the word,
of God.
And that's what's going to give you peace. Listen, it doesn't make the reality of the virus go away, but it gives you hope.
And I want to encourage you with this. I went ahead and I added that verse into the live stream comments just so you can have it and meditate on it throughout the week. That is how we get our peace. Mm. Now, I want to give you a charge, however, of what you need to be doing this week.
Amen.
Out of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I'm going to begin at verse 13. It says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people.
Mm-hmm.
If my people,
that's right,
who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways,
Lord,
then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Mm. People of God, hear me.
Yes.
This is the time right now for us to follow what the word of God has already told us to do. One. Pray. Seek God's face, not his hand.
Mm.
Let's be clear. When we seek God's hand, we're asking God to do something for us.
Yes.
When we seek God's face, we are simply seeking to know him more.
Mm.
We need to pray and seek his face. Then we need to turn from our wicked ways.
Not
this
the
is
world,
our time.
From ours.
From mm-hmm. ours. Yes, it's mm-hmm. in the house of God. We need to turn from our wicked ways, which means we have to first allow the Spirit of God to convict us.
Yes.
And prompt us, Lord, where have I been playing church?
Mm.
Where have I not been actually living a righteous and holy life so that we can actually begin to turn from our wicked ways? The Bible says, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's important that we understand. Verse 14 says, if my people, if is a conditional statement.
Mm.
If you will do these things, humble yourself, pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, then I will forgive your sin and I will heal your land. It's in the Bible, y'all. This is not a mystery. All we have to do as a people is we have to pray, seek the face of God, humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways, and God will do exactly what he said he's going to do. So we have our peace, Psalm 91, and then we have our charge, 2 Chronicles 7, 13 through 14. This is what we need to take into the week, so that God can actually begin to move on our path.
Amen. And let me just echo what you just said. Don't give the enemy any ground in your house right now.
Mm-mm.
In other words, if you're married and you got strife and tension, get that stuff straightened out immediately. Don't give the enemy any ground to come into your life, over your children, over your relationships, over anything that's going on. We need to be praying and staying together and confessing and pleading the blood over everything that we have. And as we do that, God says he will heal our land, heal everything that we have. God will take care of that. Amen.
He's going to do it.
Amen.